What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
Hey folks, Mitch LaFon here. You are listening to Playlist Wars, and let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars, everybody. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I have my partner in crime, Brian Colburn, with our special guest, Mr. Eric Chale from our Patreon account. How's everyone doing tonight?
What's up? What's up?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
You know me, hanging in there.
Doing great, man. Doing great. Thanks for coming back. I know we just had you on recently for our one-year anniversary, and now this is your first official full-length show.
Yes.
So we figured we would throw the topic to you, and you chose Joe Bonamassa. So the first and obvious question of the night, how difficult did you find it coming up with a top 10 list?
So being this is show number 3 for me, this was the most difficult. He just has a wealth of a huge catalog, not just solo, but he has another band and he's a guest on several other artists' albums. So yeah, it was hard. It was tough. I think we were talking back and forth and I had it down to 12. And it was just last week I got it down to 10, so it was hard.
Yeah, you know, when you do an album, like you were on for our Shinedown Amaryllis playlist and album, you have a bank of 11 songs. When you're talking about somebody who has 20 years of albums, and he pretty much puts out a studio album, not every year, but close to it. So the sample size is a lot bigger to narrow it down.
True. Very true. It was hard. But I got a lot of Joe Bonamassa listening, more than I have in a while. So that was a good thing.
And that's something I want to get into, because Joe Bonamassa might not be a household name. And for us, it's a great reason to kind of expose the listeners out there to some music they might not be familiar with. Now, as far as I'm concerned, Joe Bonamassa is a household name and should be, because he has more number one blues albums than I can even start counting. He has a ton of albums that have been on the Billboard 200, multiple Grammy nominations. And to kind of take this on a personal note, when I first saw Joe Bonamassa perform live, it was at a venue called Mexicali Blues Cafe in Teaneck, New Jersey. It's no longer there, but the room held maybe several hundred people. And the night we saw him, there was about 100 people there. Now he sells out Red Rocks in Colorado with ease. And yet he's not on the modern charts, because this is blues music, so it's not mainstream. And we want to try to stretch the boundaries of Playlist Wars and do music that's not necessarily mainstream. We do the big artists, stuff that everybody's familiar with, the Motley Crues, the Led Zeppelins, but we kind of want to make you think for a while and maybe discover a new artist. So tonight's music is an example of that. And hopefully between our three playlists tonight, we give you a good sample size of stuff to check out.
I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, with that, so am I. Eric, are you ready to get down to business?
I am ready to go, too. It's a guitar god. Let's talk.
Hell yeah, man. This one's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get started, if you'd like to support the show and become a Patreon member, it's quite easy. Head over to patreon.com/playlistwars and select a tier that works best for you. They start at $1 a month and include everything from episode shoutouts to future guest spots. Once again, patreon.com/playlistwars. Now, as I said, tonight our topic is Joe Bonamassa, and the three of us have each individually created a playlist with our top 10 favorite tracks, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior till now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track ones through track tens one by one, crafting what we each feel is the perfect Joe Bonamassa playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the playlister family, to vote at playlistwarspodcast.com to decide once and for all which one of us got it right. And if you simply can't decide who you want to vote for, while you're visiting the site, you can also listen to each one of our playlists so you can hear where we're coming from with our choices. Later on in the show, we'll each get to choose our one honorable mention song of the night, which has to be a song that someone else picked. Now, let's see what different shades of blue we each came up with tonight.
There it is.
There it is. A bad dad joke.
Every single time. And I'm proud of them. Eric, why don't you kick things off with your track one?
All right. So my track one is, and first of all, I have to say, when we talked earlier, I said I didn't have any cover songs. And then you wrote me back, and I didn't realize how many of these were covers. I thought a lot were originals, so that's my ignorance on some of these songs. So there are covers. Anyway, my number one is Walking Blues from the album Blues Deluxe, 2003. And this is actually a Robert Johnson cover. And it is a perfect mid-tempo old UK electric blues number. It adds in some slide guitar over the riff. And it kind of makes you think of, you know, working on a railroad almost. You know, you put in the work till it's quitting time. That's what it sounds like to my ears. Blues to me is just working music, blue collar, sweat, dirty, and that song encompasses all of that. So that's my number one.
That's a great pick. It's not on my list, but I do have something from that album, actually.
Yeah, same here. I love Blues Deluxe as an album. It is the album that introduced me to Joe Bonamassa. So it's up there with my favorite albums because I would not be listening to him now had I not stumbled across this album, believe it or not, in a Barnes & Noble on one of those listening stations back in the 2000s. You remember?
Yeah,
you remember?
Yep.
You had the headphones, you'd put them on, and there'd be like seven CDs to choose from. And this was one of them. I hit play, and the opening track, his cover of B.B. King's You Upset Me, Baby, started playing. I heard about 30 seconds, put the headphones down, brought the CD to the counter, and the rest is history. I love this album. I love that song. It unfortunately did not make my list, though.
Okay.
So with that, Gomez, we are up to you for track one.
Oh, track one. I went with So Many Roads, So Many Trains to Ride, I Find My Baby Before I'm Satisfied. Best line right there on the song. One of my favorites. It just got this awesome entrance. It's very slow with the guitar playing and everything. And it just gets into a little bit of like a nice little jam with it. It's just such a great song. So track one, So Many Roads. And I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert, everybody. No Grand Theft Auto or movies.
Yeah, I was about to say, when Eric came to us with this topic, I knew this was not going to be a video or movie heavy episode because unfortunately his music's not in a lot of stuff. Although I would like to make a case for a lot of the songs we're going to talk about tonight would fit very, very well in video games and movies.
Actually, I will say this. A couple of them can fit in a good Tarantino movie and some older 80s movies, which I will mention when we're talking.
Agreed.
Yeah, originally recorded by Otis Rush. I mean, this is a fantastic album. It came from his 2006 album, You and Me. And as I'm looking down my list, I actually didn't include anything from this album. And that sucks because this album is absolutely fantastic. And So Many Roads is my favorite song on that album. So early on, I could say that you've already put a pin in my possible honorable mention songs. Because as I'm looking at these, man, this was a great album.
Yes.
But like Eric said before, you don't think a lot of the songs by Joe Bonamassa are covers, but I'm looking at the track list right now. There's 11 tracks on this album. Seven of them are covers.
Yeah, I had no idea. I really didn't know.
It's insane. But they're not all cover songs that are mainstream covers. So to people listening, it could very well just be another blues artist because, you know, Otis Rush might not be a household name. Now, obviously, on that same album, I shouldn't say that now because somebody might have something from this album later on. So I'll just stop myself there and say it's a great song, but it did not make my list. Eric, how about you?
It did not. I do like the song, but it did not make my list.
All right. So that means we are moving on to my track one, and I'm going to go to 2007's Slow Gin. This was an album that reached number one on the Billboard Top U.S. Blues Albums and number 184 on the Billboard 200. I'm going to say that a lot tonight when I say this album reached number one on the Billboard U.S. Blues Albums because he has a lot of number one blues albums. This song is a cover originally recorded by Chris Whitley for his 1998 album Dirt Floor. I'm going with a song called Ball Peen Hammer.
Good one.
The original by Chris Whitley is basically a banjo, a foot stomp, and vocals. It's a very Americana track. And somehow, Joe Bonamassa took this song and transformed it into a Led Zeppelin-influenced monster with Bonham-esque drumming while still incorporating the elements of the original, the banjo, the stomping, and just kind of stripping it back to just that minimalistic verse. So he pays homage to the original, but really adds his flavor and touch to it. And I'm a big cover fan. I talk about it on the show all the time. Joe Bonamassa is a poster child for me as an artist because a lot of his albums incorporate a mix of covers and originals. And my playlist tonight is going to represent that because he does a great mix of, and it's funny, a lot of people listen to these albums and just assume they're all Joe Bonamassa songs because he really puts his stamp on them. And this is definitely one example. My track one, Ball, Peen, Hammer.
Well, it did not make my list, Brian, but I got to check it out again.
It did not make my list either. Actually, nothing from that album made my list.
Whoa.
That's one of the ones I don't listen to that often. Because as we said, he has such a wealth of material. But he, as Gomez said, I'm going to have to revisit that one.
Oh, dude, don't sweat it. Like I just said a few minutes ago with Gomez's pick of So Many Roads from You and Me, I'm already feeling the guilt from that album. It's a fantastic album. But to me, Slow Gin ranks pretty much tied as my number one favorite Joe Bonamassa album with another album that I'm going to talk about a little later on.
I'm definitely going to go back and revisit that then.
Awesome. So, Eric, with that being said, we are back to you for track two now.
All right. My track two, this is a cheat. All right. This is a cheat. It is Man in the Middle off of the Black Country Communion 2 album from 2011. Now, this is not a Joe Bonamassa solo, but it is his band. Well, it's his and Glenn Hughes' band. And this is more on the hard rock, metalish side. It has Glenn Hughes, Joe Bonamassa, Jason Bonham, and Derek Sherinian. And the song's as good as that lineup sounds. It has sort of a classic Deep Purple riff with Glenn Hughes' vocals, very Plant-esque. And speaking of movies, this song would go great in a Fast and Furious movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my God. The riff is just, it makes you want to speed.
Okay, so I got to check this one out, too.
It's so good. So does that count? Does that cheat count?
We're going to allow it.
All right.
Of course.
It's no cheat.
I will say that I did not include any Black Country Communion music because I stuck to his solo albums. However, if I was going to, I would have put Song of Yesterday from Black Country Communion number one.
All right.
Because that one, Joe is singing, and I feel like there could have been an asterisk on that because he does perform that song in his live sets solo as well. I'm not sure he does Man in the Middle, but I love the track. So the nerd in me just can't say, no, we're not allowing this.
All right, good, good. Like I said I was going to cheat. So that's my cheat. But those first two Black Country albums are so good.
They're amazing. They're amazing. All right, Gomez, we are up to you for track two.
So track two for me, I went off the same album as Eric did with Walking Blues. I went with Blues Deluxe, the cover from the Jeff Beck Group. I love this song, the beginning with his voice, and it's got this song that I could say like it's like a bar atmosphere, and it would actually fit in a really good kick-ass movie. And the solo in the song is ridiculous too, by the way. It's probably one of his longer songs. He's got some long ones in some of his albums. Mm-hmm. If you remember watching like the original Roadhouse House with Patrick Swayze, I see this fitting in it, you know what I mean? Right before a bar fight happening. So it's just a great song. So Blues Deluxe, track two.
Great pick.
Yeah, from 2003's Blues Deluxe, an album that reached number 8 on the Billboard Top U.S. Blues Albums. Like you said, Gomez, it was originally recorded by Jeff Beck, the Jeff Beck Group, actually, because it was on their 1968 album Truth, which featured some little-known Rod Stewart on vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, this album introduced me to Joe Bonamassa, and this is my favorite song on the album. And I'm closing my playlist with this song.
Oh, are you really? Wow.
Oh.
This is my track 10. This is the song that I use to introduce other people to Joe Bonamassa's music. And my justification for that introduction is all in this guitar solo. This is one of his finest guitar moments, starting out really quiet where he's playing the solo on the volume knob, just kind of letting the harmonics speak for itself. And then when the whole band kicks in, this power trio thing he's got going on, the solo reaches this epic level of damn near Eddie Van Halen territory with the shredding that he's doing in the song. And then he brings it right back down on a quick snare hit to a mellow, slow jam again. I mean, he did Jeff Beck proud on this one. And every time I play this guitar solo for somebody, I always get the same, whoa, reaction. So this is my go-to song and the song I am closing out my track list with, track 10, Blues Deluxe. I'm hoping we have a trifecta on this one, but we'll see. Eric?
We do not.
Oh,
we don't. I'm sorry.
Damn it. There it goes already. Trifecta killer.
But I do like the track.
It's a great track. Such
yeah,
a
it
good
is.
Track.
But now I feel guilty about not picking it.
Well, you have the chance to make it an honorary trifecta at the honorable mention part of the night. So there's that.
True.
All right. So for my track two, I'm going to go off of 2010's Black Rock. This album reached number one on the Billboard Top U.S. Blues Albums. Again, I'm going to say that a lot tonight. And number 39 on the Billboard 200. This is an original written by Joe Bonamassa. And I felt it was the perfect transition out of Ball Peen Hammer. And that song is Blue and Evil. And the reason I chose this song is because Ball Peen Hammer, like I said, has a Led Zeppelin-esque vibe to it. Blue and Evil has a Led Zeppelin-esque vibe to it. And the two songs back-to-back really play well together. The Zeppelin influence in the first song was more on the drumming style. In Blue and Evil, the guitar work in the chorus sounds like he's paying homage to a song like Kashmir, just in the way he's playing the chords in the song. It's in no way, shape, or form a lift or a pull from Kashmir, but you could definitely tell he's a fan of that song, and that influence is shining through in that chorus. So it's a 1-2 punch that I felt like was a great way to get my track list started, because I love Zeppelin, and the influence Joe definitely wears on his sleeve, but in a loving way, and this is a perfect example of that. Track two, Blue and Evil.
Great pick, dude. It didn't make my list, but that's a good one.
Yeah, didn't make my list, but I love the Kashmir comparison because it's subtle, but it's there.
It's not in your face. He's not like pulling elements of it, but there's just elements where you're listening to the guitar going, that's what that reminds me of. But it's in a real, almost in an homage kind of way.
But that goes back to what you said before. He puts his own stamp on everything. Now, just to kind of go off on a tangent here quickly, that was my biggest complaint about him up until which album was this? Black Rock? Was he kind of could play everybody else's licks. But that album, I think he came into his own.
At that point in his career was when he was starting to have a string of number one albums. And yeah, by all means, this is really where he kind of came into his own.
Definitely, definitely. Was that the first Kevin Shirley produced?
You and Me actually was the first album produced by Kevin Shirley in 2006.
Okay, because I know they did a string of albums together. So
yeah, and they all are fantastic. Like every one of them. It's so hard to go. Like there's literally more albums than slots for songs. So no matter how we go about it, there's no way where each album is going to get represented tonight, no matter how we try, which is a bummer, but also a good thing because it shows in 20 years, this guy's already kind of sealed a really cool legacy about him.
Right. Well, he's been doing this since he was 12.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, we're not even talking Bloodline yet when he was in high school doing music in the 90s. And then B.B. King would bring Joe out on tour with him. And that's kind of where he cut his teeth. But it wasn't until 2000 that he released his first actual solo album, which kind of started the two decades worth of music that he's released.
But how good do you have to be to get up on stage with B.B. King at 12?
Right?
Pretty damn good.
It's ridiculous.
So, Eric, we are back to you for track three then.
All right, my track three. Now, as we said before, we've incorporated movie talk, I guess. But a lot of his songs are very cinematic in feel. Mm-hmm. You know, I can picture a movie in my head sometimes when I hear his music. So my track three is I Got All You Need. It's a Robert Johnson cover off of Driving Towards the Daylight. And that one takes me back to my college days. It just feels like a bar when I was in college. And, you know, is that 20-year-old where you feel like you walk into the bar and you own the place? I'm sure we've all had that experience before. you know, you get ready to go out, look in the mirror, everything's perfect. That's what that song feels like to me. I love it. Love it. Love it.
That's a good pick. I didn't make it my list, but that's, I see what you're saying with that bar scene look. You know what I mean? You go in there and you're that guy that walks into the bar and everyone looks at you. I like that for that song. That's a good idea, man. But it did not make my list.
Yeah, it's a great tune. And I will say that the album Driving Towards the Daylight, I am representing tonight, but I went with a different song from that one. But that's another great pick from it. But I do love that song. It's just not the one I chose for my list.
All right.
But we'll get to that a little later. But first, Gomez, track three.
Track three for me, I actually went with Tennessee Plates with John Hiatt.
Nice.
All of Joe Bonamassa's songs have this awesome entrance. Like, it has this, how can I say, a jumpy, happy start to it. Like, you know, like a good bounce in your step. And one of the lines I'll never forget, it's in the beginning. I woke up in a hotel, don't know what to do. I turned on a TV, wrote a letter to you. Something like this just makes me feel like he's being on the road, traveling, being with your band and all that stuff. So for me, I think it's just part of his life. So track three, Tennessee Plates with John Hiatt.
I absolutely love the song. I love John Hiatt's original. To me, John Hiatt is one of the most underrated singer-songwriters of all time. Hands down. The guy is a legend, and not a lot of people know him, and he's got decades and decades of amazing music, and Tennessee Plates is one of them. I was a fan of that song in the 80s and 90s, and when I heard Joe Bonamassa was covering it for the Dust Bowl album, I was extremely excited. I love, 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 love Joe Bonamassa's version. However, knowing the fact that I'm probably going to push for us to do a John Hiatt episode at some point, I want to save that song for that. So I wanted to use tonight to think about Joe Bonamassa a little bit more. So I didn't go with that one, but it is a friggin' badass tune. I absolutely love their rendition. Eric?
It's not on my list. I've got another one, two other ones from Dust Bowl, but that one didn't make it. I don't know a lot of John Hiatt, so I'm going to have to check him out.
Oh, man. If you like the song Tennessee Plates from Dust Bowl, that's a good representation of kind of the music that John Hiatt does.
All right.
Yeah, and judging by some of the music you post, Eric, some of his later years stuff becomes a lot more deep in the Americana, mm-hmm. a little more retrospective, and it's friggin' fantastic. The guy's an absolute legend. Highly, highly, highly recommend it.
So what album would you recommend?
I'm going to go with The Tiki Bar Is Open.
All right.
As a first, as an introduction. That's from his 90s stage.
All right. I'm doing it.
And if you want to go 80s, Riding with the King.
All right.
Which, if you remember, Eric Clapton and B.B. King put out an album called Riding with the King.
Yeah.
That lead single is a cover of John Hiatt's Riding with the King.
I did not know that. Look at that. I learned something new every day.
So that's the kind of vibe you're getting. So I would give you those two as albums to go with first.
I'll check them out.
But now, back to Joe Bonamassa.
Yes.
Back to the music. PlaylistWars.com. Anyway, my track three, we were just talking about Driving Towards the Daylight. Eric, you went with I Got All You Need. I actually am representing that album as my track three, only I am going with the title track, Driving Towards the Daylight. The album reached number one, again, on the Billboard U.S. Top Blues Albums, and number 23 on the Billboard 200. And for our U.K. listeners, hey, the album debuted at number two on the UK charts. So, I mean, this guy is much bigger than you think and realize. And that's amazing. Joe Bonamassa wrote this song along with Danny Kochmar, who's known for writing hits like Don Henley's All She Wants to Do Is Dance and New York Minute, as well as producing albums like John Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory and co-producing Billy Joel's River of Dreams. That kind of puts you in the mind frame of where this song comes from. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but a lot of his albums have cover songs. And Driving Towards the Daylight is one of three originals on an 11-track album. And in my humble opinion, this original is the strongest song on the album. It's a part ballad, part rocker, that sets itself apart from the other songs on my list and on a lot of his albums because there's no guitar solo. There's a bridge that involves the entire band. So musically, there's definitely a change happening, but there's no soloing wizardry going on. Joe just lets the song speak for itself and it sticks out. But in a list where most people are expecting nothing but epic guitar solos and fireworks, having a song just speak for itself to me felt really powerful. And that's why I thought it was a no-brainer to include on my list, because for a guitar virtuoso to not include a guitar solo is a little bit of a curveball there. So my track three, Driving Towards the Daylight.
Great pick, Bri. Did not make my list, but that's actually a really good tune.
Yeah, that actually may be my honorable mention. Now that I think about it, it didn't make my list though. But that's what you make a good point. Bonamassa knows when not to play. He knows when to go crazy, but he knows when to stop. And a lot of guitar players don't know how to do that.
Exactly. There's a lot of virtuosos out there that no matter what song they guest in, they're just doing what they do in that song. If they're a shredder, they're just shredding. It could be a polka, and there they are shredding.
Yep.
Joe Bonamassa plays what needs to be played for the song he's playing in. And to me, that's credit for him because he has an ear for what sounds good. And it's not necessarily, he never overplays is what I'm trying to say here.
That's correct.
All right, Eric, we are back to you for track four, man.
All right. My track four is, this is one of my favorite Joe tunes, The Ghost of Macon Jones, 2018, off of the Redemption album. I think it's an original. I don't have the actual albums. I just have digital. So the liner notes online, they don't show who wrote the song, but I think it's an original. It feels like a Western, an old spaghetti Western when you listen to it. So I picture like a Clint Eastwood outlaw standing alone, hat down outside the saloon. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know if you read the book Blood Meridian. It's almost like a soundtrack to that book. Gary Pinto does co-lead vocals on it. I didn't know there was a second vocalist on it until I did read the liner notes that were available online. But what I love about the song is at the 2 minute and 40 second mark, you get almost a classical guitar solo. He just plays some classical scales. And then at the 3:28 mark, he goes into this crazy Ritchie Blackmore solo. It sounds like it's right off of an old Deep Purple album. And it fits to this Western motif of the song. So that is my number four.
Another great pick. Did not make my list, but I mean, we're going to be saying that a lot tonight.
Right.
Because I just feel like we're all over the place with these songs tonight.
But here's the thing. We're talking about more albums than there are song choices. So the odds on a trifecta or even a crossover, we've had one, but the odds on that are going to be slim because he's got more albums than we have songs to pick.
Yes.
So unfortunately, while Redemption will be talked about in my list, I went with a different song from the album. So
okay.
But that's a great one. That's a fantastic album. And I will say this for the CD nerds out there. If you bought it from Target, it came with three extra tracks. So that's the one I've got.
Cool.
Just throwing that out in the universe. If you want to look for the CD online, try to find the Target Deluxe Edition if you're looking on Discogs, because it's got three extra tracks. Good stuff. Good stuff. Gomez, track four.
Track four. I went with a cool song that I thought, Brian, you mentioned, but you went Driving Towards the Daylight. I went with Drive out of the Blues of Desperation album. And I'll tell you, this was another truly awesome song. It was very low key. Definitely a song that fits in a Tarantino film. So it would be like maybe from Dusk Till Dawn, some of the parts in the beginning of the movie or towards the end, it would have been perfect. But that's what I keep thinking of with this song. So it's another great song. So Drive is my track four.
It's a great, great song. I love the way you hit the nail on the head. It is a mellow, mellow tune. And again, he doesn't overplay in it. He just plays to what's needed in the music. It's right. Actually, I would go as far as to say it's a gorgeous tune. It's almost tribal, which is, again, different than what you think when you think blues. The drum beat in it, it's rhythmic, it's tribal, and it works so, so well. He wrote the song with James House, which, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. So if I'm wrong, feel free to call me out on it. I'm almost positive he was the co-writer on The Ghost of Macon Jones as well, Eric, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I'd have to do some more digging, but they did a lot of stuff together on the Blues of Desperation album, and I think that carried over into Redemption. But unfortunately, I don't have anything from Blues of Desperation on my list again because certain albums have to make the cut. Nothing bad to say about it. I love the album. Another contender for my honorable mention there, but unfortunately did not make my list. Eric?
Same here. It's an overlooked one. He has so much that I overlooked a couple songs. It's funny, Gomez, you said Tarantino. I always thought when I first heard this song, and I'm a huge David Lynch fan, and I think that would have fit on the Twin Peaks Season 3 soundtrack perfectly.
I never saw the show Twin Peaks, but I think they even made a movie out of it, didn't they?
Yes, it would have fit perfectly. Watch the show. It's three seasons. Just watch it.
I got to catch up on some shows soon.
All right. So moving on to my track four. One thing I noticed tonight, a couple of my songs actually are the title track, and this one is no different. I'm going off of 2009's The Ballad of John Henry, and I'm going with the title track, The Ballad of John Henry. This is an album that reached, here we go again, number one on the Billboard US Top Blues Albums and number 103 on the Billboard 200. The song was written by Joe Bonamassa with due credit to Mississippi John Hurt. This is easily the heaviest song on my playlist tonight. While Joe Bonamassa is firmly cemented as a contemporary blues icon, this song shows the guy can play rock music and play it well. To me, this main riff almost feels like something you'd hear in an Alice in Chains song. But there's slide guitar work over it that's simply stunning. Another outlet of his playing. He is a killer slide player. And I want to give a shout out to our friend John Pritchard at the Well Disguised podcast, who chimed in with this monster track on Twitter. My track four, The Ballad of John Henry.
Brian, unfortunately, I know you're probably going to smack me upside the head for this one, but it didn't make my list, but this could be a contender for my honorable mention.
Did not make my list.
Damn. Honestly, I actually thought that this would have been one of the songs that would have been a shoe-in for a trifecta. I'm shocked, but cool. I mean, I like that these lists are all over the place here.
I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but he has so many songs.
Way too many songs. But that's a good thing.
Yeah, and they're different enough where a lot of different music fans can like his music. So I think we would be all over the place on this.
Yeah. So let's keep this going. Eric, we're back to you for track five.
All right. My number five is Meaning of the Blues off of Dust Bowl 2011. And this is my favorite Bonamassa album. I think everything came together on this one. Mix of his old style with where he's going to now, or you could hear where he was going to go to. This song actually reminds me a lot of Gary Moore. The guitar tones.
Sounds
a lot like Gary Moore. The solo just shreds on this song. It's just a slow burner. It's mean.
He's just an unbelievable guitarist. I just got to say that.
Yeah, and he's precise. His tone. He's not sloppy. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's all I could say. It's just unreal.
Now, Gomez, did Meaning of the Blues make your list?
No, but that's a great pick, though, that he had, unfortunately. But what Eric just said, it's just the solo work he has is unreal.
I am going to be talking about Dust Bowl because along with Slow Gin, it's one of my favorite albums of his. Unfortunately, I went with a different song from the album. I feel like a broken record again, but there's probably six songs that I could have easily put into my top 10 from Dust Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to include some other albums as well. So I felt like you're in between a rock and a hard place here, unfortunately. And that's one of them. I love that song. So I love the pick. Unfortunately, went with a different pick from the same album.
All right. I wonder if we picked the same, because I have another Dust Bowl. I wonder if we picked the same song.
I'll be curious, but at the rate we're going, I'm going to say not.
I know.
Gomez, track five.
So track five, I went The Heart That Never Waits from the Time Clocks album, I believe. And I'll tell you, it has that blues to it. And to me, with the organ playing in the mix and the piano playing in the mix, it's something I truly love and you don't hear a lot. I'm going to bring up a really... I wouldn't say a bad movie, but I like it. It was Michael Keaton when he was, the movie was called Jack Frost. I kind of figured I was waiting for someone to laugh at me on this.
I did laugh.
You're not talking about the Jack Frost horror movie slasher campy killer thing, are you?
No. That's a horror film. We're talking about Michael Keaton.
Okay, the cute family one.
Yeah, this is the
family
one.
I know there's a horror
one.
Version of that movie.
There is
Jack
a Frost. Horror. Yes, there is a horror movie called Jack Frost, but no. I'm talking about I said Michael Keaton in the beginning of it.
I don't know who was in the horror movie. I didn't see either one
really,
of them.
But listen, Michael Keaton is a serious actor. Where have you seen him play a horror flick?
Multiplicity.
That was worse than Showgirls, okay? That was terrifying.
Lord. Oh, God.
Anyway, as you were.
So talking about hearing the band playing with an organ and a piano and just hearing all that combined together was just a great song. So for me, it was probably perfect where I fit this in the middle. So... Track five, The Heart Never Waits.
Man, I love Time Clocks. However, nothing from the album made my list because I haven't had enough time to really let the album settle in yet. I've only listened to it two or three times so far. And because of that, there are so many albums that have been played so many more times that are so ingrained in my Joe Bonamassa DNA that I couldn't replace these songs for something from the new album yet. But in time, I feel like Time Clocks is one of those albums that if I were to do this episode 10 years from now, would definitely have to be represented. It's a fantastic listen.
Actually, if I'm looking at my list, I do have another one from Time Clocks.
Oh, good. So wow. Your two makes up for my zero. So I don't feel so bad.
Yeah. So
Eric.
Yeah, no, it didn't. You said everything I was going to say. It's too new an album. It came out. It's not even a year old.
Right.
So it's just I haven't heard it. I haven't listened to it enough. I maybe listened to it twice.
But it's such a good album.
It is.
It is. But then when you have like 20 other albums that you have to listen to, it sort of falls.
I know. But it's so damn good.
So
but I highly recommend it.
That's another one I'll revisit. But it did not make my list.
It was a very damn good album.
Well, it is a good album. I think it was pretty short, too. That's one thing about Bonamassa. Not a complaint, but his albums tend to be a little long. I think the album is under 40 minutes, isn't it? Or maybe I'm out of my mind. I don't know.
You might be right and might be out of your mind. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be a little bit of both.
There you go.
I was trying to be respectful, not try to be a
doubter. It's all in good fun, you know.
Please.
Well, speaking of short songs, I'm going to do something completely opposite of that.
What else is
there? I'm going to go with a long-ass tune this time. And I'm going to go with a cover from 2007's Slow Gin. And again, for the third time now, I'm going with the title track, Slow Gin. This is a cover originally performed by Tim Curry.
Yes.
That Tim Curry. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Home Alone 2. Muppets Treasure Island.
Clue.
Tim Curry. He had an album in 1978 called Read My Lips. And this is Joe doing a version of that song. It's my favorite Joe Bonamassa song besides Blues Deluxe. So I closed side A of my playlist and side B with my two favorite songs from him. This song is the perfect album closing track. On the vinyl of Slow Gin, this closes side A, and it's in the perfect spot. It's a perfect mix of ballad and blues, and his guitar playing shines throughout the whole track. Another element of this track is it includes an orchestra, which adds a layer of heft to the song, but it doesn't overpower his guitar work. And even though the song is 8 minutes and 12 seconds long, it never feels like it overstays its welcome, which is an Achilles heel for most long songs. The only critique I give about this song, because I listen to it a lot when I'm on the road, there's a breakdown before the guitar solo that includes traffic noise, car horns, and sirens. And every time I'm driving, I get like this, oh my God, am I getting pulled over moment. But anyway, shout out on Twitter to Tony Watson, who also chimed in with this classic. Yes, go back and listen to the Tim Curry version. His is awesome too. But mine is track 5, Slow Gin.
That did not make my list. But yes, the Tim Curry, it's a great cover. It's a great cover.
It's a left field cover.
It's just a little long. My ADD doesn't
allow them.
Doesn't keep my attention.
I get it. Gomez.
Oh, no, I didn't make my list, but I do love Tim Curry in some of the movies, especially in Clue. That was one of my favorites with him.
See, so I got to come up with at least a movie tie-in, even though it had nothing to do with the song being in the movie. But
no, definitely not. You get that once in a blue moon, not always.
All right, so flipping this album over here, we've got not a single trifecta and only one crossover in Blues Deluxe. Eric, what do you got for track 6?
All right, track 6, I have High Class Girl off of the 2020 album Royal T. This album was okay. Everything he does is good, but this album was kind of, I don't know. It didn't hit me, didn't click with me, except for this song. To me, it sounds like old film noir. If you put it on, you can picture the old detective. Because like I said, his music takes me to like a visual movie type feeling. Mm-hmm. Like you can almost see the hero, you can't give up the femme fatale, that kind of sound to it. But then the solo hits, and I don't know if you guys remember, I'm sure you do, this old Shrapnel Records. Mm-hmm. It has that feel to it. It has that guitar tone, the speed. It sounds like it's off of Shrapnel Records. And that's really why I love the song. It's not neoclassical, but it has that old 80s Shrapnel feel to it. So that's my number 6.
I kind of listened to that song. I did not hear it. But I like how you just explained how with the movie for it. So I got to check that one out.
Yeah, Royal T, I don't know why. I kind of have to agree with you, Eric. I don't hate the album by any stretch, but I don't find myself grabbing it to listen to right away when I'm in the mood to listen to some Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not a bad album at all. I just don't know if it would land in my top 10, say, of his albums.
Agreed.
So unfortunately, I didn't really look to this one for any music because I kind of went in different directions, but no disrespect to the album at all. Gomez, right. Track six.
Track six. Evil Mama.
Ooh.
I love, again, we talk about the guitar playing in every single one of his songs, but the entrance of the song, of the drums here, was just so unreal. It's got that awesome feel, like I want to rock out song and sing with it. You know what I mean? It's just a great tune. So track six, Evil Mama.
It's a good one.
Well, track six for me, Evil Mama, which means that we get to pass the ceremonial bingo chopping axe to Eric for this evening, at least a bingo. I haven't gone through my spiel of the song yet. We might have a trifecta here, but a bingo has thus been chopped. So congratulations, Eric. You get the ceremonial axe for that.
All right.
But from 2018's Redemption, an album that reached number one on the Billboard Top U.S. Blues Albums and number 26 on the Billboard 200, written by Joe Bonamassa along with Tom Hambridge, who's written for Leonard Skinner, Susan Tedeschi, Joe Thorogood, Buddy Guy, among others, and produced by Kevin Shirley, who we talked about earlier. His production credits include Iron Maiden, John Hiatt, Mr. Big, Journey, Satriani, and Silvertide. Great, great, great producer. Gomez, that drum beat you're talking about in the beginning of the song?
Yes, sir.
Is actually not a sample because his drummer's playing it, but it's actually the opening drum beat to Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll.
Is it really?
Yes, it's the exact same drum beat.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
But what they do is you think that this album is going to enter with this manic hard rock song. And he does this fast opening and you think you're getting Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin. But right at the end of that drum beat, he does a different fill and takes the song halftime. And this becomes a funk song. Now, Joe Bonamassa recorded two albums with a group called Rock Candy Funk Party, which also features Tal Bergman, Ron DeJesus, and Mike Merritt. That's pure jazz funk music. This song, Evil Mama, is a cross of what Rock Candy Funk Party and Joe Bonamassa's solo music would sound like when they were put together. Joe Bonamassa has a horn section that he tours with now. While I love me a horn section, having seen Joe play as a trio and light the place on fire, it's hard for me to see a horn section on stage with him because I kind of feel the horns are a little bit of an overkill when you have that much talent on the stage, just in Joe and his guitar playing. But who am I kidding? Don't get me wrong. If I ever had a chance to bring a horn section on stage with me, I'd be doing the same too. So I don't knock it. And there are some songs he uses the horn section in where I say, we're kind of hitting overkill here. In Evil Mama, it's perfect because the horns add the funk to the song and they're all in on it. And I absolutely love this one. Track six, Evil Mama.
All right. That's a good one. That didn't make my list.
Oh,
didn't make my list. Sorry.
So you get two axes. You get the bingo chopping axe and a trifecta chopping axe.
All right. I'm good with that.
And that gives you two because you have one for Blues Deluxe as well. So now you're up to three axes. You have a plethora of axes, Eric.
I'll take it. This is a record.
And what is a plethora, Brian?
Three or more.
Yes.
I just felt like saying that. Jefe, do you know what the plethora is?
I have a plethora of pinatas.
It's a sweater.
Right, Eric. Pivoting out of the Three Amigos, back to the Three Amigos here on Playlist Wars. What do you have for track seven?
All right. My track seven is Traveling South off of the 2004 album Had to Cry Today. This is a up-tempo, fast Albert Collins cover. It's just a good driving song. Get behind the wheel of a car, put this on. And then the guitar solo, as we've said before, we keep talking about his guitar playing. But this solo, he starts with some crazy slide guitar, which to me sounds very 80s. You remember at the end of the hairband era? No, this is not a hairband song, but remember when they tried to do blues and they threw in slide guitar into a lot of their guitar solos?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like that to me. And then he goes into some ridiculous riffing, back to the slide, and then some palm muting. The song is exhausting. It's nonstop, start to finish. Crazy riffing, great solo, love it.
Did not make my list, but another great song. I do believe it's, like you said, it is made for a driving song. I would actually put this in an old school driving movie like Bullet.
Yes.
With Steve McQueen. I think that would make that movie even better with this song in there.
Good call. Well, I get to say this sentence again. I love the song. I have a song from Had to Cry Today on my list, and it's a different song from Had to Cry Today. So unfortunately, this one did not make my list, but if I didn't choose the song that I did choose from that album, this would have been a high consideration for that one. Because again, he just has too many damn songs.
Mm-hmm.
Gomez, track 7.
Track 7. So I went back to the Time Clocks album and went with Mind's Eye. I love this song. It has that authentic hard rock feeling to it. For me, this song could close a great movie, be in the beginning of a great movie, or be in the middle of a great movie. Two movies came along in my mind thinking about where this song fits. I think Con Air with Nicolas Cage would have been perfect with this one. And then, Brian, a movie you got me into with Patrick Swayze, Black Dog.
Oh, yeah.
This would have been perfect in somewhere in the middle of that movie. So track 7, Mind's Eye.
Well, like I said, I didn't include anything from Time Clocks. So again, I feel like 10 years from now, if we do this episode again, that might change for me because it's such a great album. But unfortunately, I did not represent it. Eric?
Same here. The album's too new. Good tune. I just don't know it well enough yet.
No, I get you.
All right. So moving on to my track 7, I am going with an album that reached number 1 on the Billboard US Top Blues Albums. If anyone was taking a shot every time I say that tonight,
I would be on the floor right now.
Oh my God. And it also reached number 37 on the Billboard 200. Written by Joe Bonamassa. Again, I'm going with the title track, 2011's Dust Bowl. This is a hard rock song that has that 1960s spaghetti western feel. He's incorporating some really cool licks throughout the song with a lot of reverb and a lot of just different effects that makes it sound like you're in a 60s western. And again, he picks the perfect opportunity to solo when it's needed. Sometimes when he needs to shred, he shreds. He's not shoehorning shredding where it doesn't belong. The guitar solo in this song is absolutely insane, but dare I use the word restrained to fit in this song's overall vibe. And at the end of the song, there's a pretty cool spoken word part performed by Peter Van Wielden, which is Joe's amp guy, because yes, he has an amp guy. And the spoken part at the end really adds to the Western feel of this song. It literally feels like I'm watching just this spaghetti Western. You just feel like something's going to break out. I love this song. Track 7, Dust Bowl.
It did not make my list. It sounds like it should have been on my list, but I got to listen to that song again. There had to be a good reason.
All right, Eric.
It didn't make my list. Another tune from that album did.
Man, that's like you and I are going back and forth with the other tunes from the album. Yep. And I have a feeling I know what the other song is going to be from yours because there was one that I juggled back and forth with Dust Bowl. And I'm going to wait till you say it to see if I was right or not.
I bet you know what it is because I've talked about it before.
Yeah, I think I do, but we'll see. Track 8, Eric, what you got?
All right, track 8. This is actually the album that really introduced me to Bonamassa. I don't want to say I was late to the party, but Black Rock was really the first album I became familiar with him on. And I actually saw an advertisement in Revolver magazine, of all places, for this album. So I figured it had a cool album cover. It was all black with the arrow on the front. So I figured, all right, I'm going to pick this up. And I loved it. And so my track 8 is Steal Your Heart Away from the 2010 album Black Rock. It just is a super heavy classic blues song. And I remember thinking to myself, who is this guy? Which I think everybody who hasn't heard Bonamassa probably thinks to themselves the first time they hear him. Where did this guy come from? And my only issue with it is Kevin Shirley's production. For some reason, he does this with Iron Maiden. He does it with Bonamassa. He has some kind of muted sound to it. Almost like it sounds like his hands are over his ears when he's listening back. But either way, what a song.
That's another good song too. But it was hard to pick, so I did not grab that one at all. Did not make my list.
Originally written by Bobby Parker, so it's another cover. It's a very, I want to use the word sludgy blues song. If that word works to describe it.
Yeah.
There's a sludge going on. It almost has like this grungy feel to the blues that he brings to it. And I think it's a perfect album opener. I absolutely love it. Although I went with Blue and Evil from this album. Again, I went with a different song. So,
right.
But I could have went with 3 or 4 from this album too. So
we're kind of picking the same albums, like you said, just different songs, which is kind of funny. Interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I'm just all over the place with mine.
No, this is great. I actually love when there's not a lot of crossover in trifectas because it really shows how diverse that artist is.
Yeah.
And this is a great example of it. So Gomez, track 8.
So track 8, I went with Dirt in My Pocket, and I had 3 pennies in a bowl of lint to go with it. But it's another great rock song. When I was listening to this song, one movie came into mind. And again, it's another Tarantino movie, From Dusk Till Dawn, right in the beginning where they're showing up to the bar in Mexico, the wonderful, you might have to beat this one out, the Twister. So I hear this song in the beginning when you walk into the bar. So for me, that's what it sounds like. It has this awesome, true country rock feel to it. So another great song by Joe Bonamassa. Track 8 for me, Dirt in My Pocket.
Did not make my list because I went with 2 songs from Slow Gin, and that was a stretch for me to pick 2 songs from the album. But I felt like Ball Peenhammer and Slow Gin were 2 of my favorites, and I really wanted those on there. If I went back for a third, Dirt in My Pocket would have been it. I just felt like that would be almost disrespecting the albums that I missed by really pulling so much from one. Mm-hmm. So I had a hard enough time hitting the album twice, but I love the song. Eric?
I do like the song too. It's not one of the ones I'm super familiar with. Because, again, he has so many songs. So it did not make my list, but I do like the tune.
And I do want to give a shout out to Anthony Welk, Monkey Noodles, who chimed in with this one.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah.
That's a point for me right there.
Believe it or not, now that we're getting to this point, because you didn't mention it, Gomez, he also chimed in with Tennessee Plates as well. So you got 2.
That's a good one.
So it looks like right now, Gomez might be in the lead for Monkey Noodles.
He might like yours or Eric's list, though.
I don't know. Eric and I have been trying to kind of indoctrinate.
Yes, we have.
Anthony into Joe Bonamassa, and I think it's been working because we've been kind of throwing him. Well, now that you listen to this album, now you got to try this one.
Yeah.
So he's going down the rabbit hole. So, I mean, for now, with the songs he picked, looks like you're in his voting lead, but Eric and I are feeding him all the other albums. So, Eric, we got to stick to the albums you and I are crossing over.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Because that's the only way you guys are going to beat me.
Right now, yeah. We got to take tactical measures here, man.
Right, right.
And, you know, and I'm not saying the woe is me part here, all right? No. You guys are now.
Well, for like the 5th time tonight, I'm going off an album that Eric had, but I had a different song from it. I'm going back to 2004's Had to Cry Today.
Mm-hmm.
This album reached number 5 on the Billboard US Top Blues Album. So in Joe Bonamassa's world, once he hit number 1, he's kind of stayed there. But these were the albums that he was growing at this point. And this is a song that was written by Joe Bonamassa and Bob Held, who also wrote with Alice Cooper, Deep Purple, Billy Squire, and Joe Lynn Turner. And the track I went with is The River. This song starts off slow and acoustic, and it's got some lone killer acoustic guitar picking, a little bit of slide going on, and Joe's vocals. Real mellow. You think you're about to hear this kind of mellow filler track. And then at 1:07, the song just kicks in with these bombastic drums, and it becomes a mid-tempo blues rocker with an amazing distorted slide guitar. And again, a John Bonham-esque drum assault that truly fits Joe's style of writing and vocals. And this was a great yin and yang to go from the really quiet to the really heavy. And I thought this was just an awesome, awesome, awesome original of his. My track 8, The River.
Great pick, dude. I only got two more, and I'll be honest with you, it did not make my list, though.
Not shocked at this point. I think the shock of it not making list was dead by track two, but anyway.
Right?
Yeah, this is true.
And Eric, let's see if you can come up with a new way to say it didn't make your list.
The River did not make my list. It's a good tune, and actually I put an asterisk by it because that might be... I got three songs now that might be my my honorable mention, and that may be one.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we are back to you for track nine.
Okay, so track nine for me is off his debut, New Day Yesterday from 2000, and it's an original tune, and it is the radio mix version of Miss You, Hate You. It's probably his most commercial song, and he uses that blues voice that he used to do in those first few albums. So he sounds a little different vocally, but it's, I think lyrically, it's one of those songs that we've all experienced. I love you, but you're killing me. It's such a great tune, though. A good commercial radio rock song. And it has a super melodic solo. It's my second favorite solo by Joe. And almost feels like those 90s videos. I picture, remember in the 90s, they had those super bright washed out colors in the music videos?
Oh, yeah.
I picture that when I hear this song. Those colors are in my head when I hear it.
Bust out the hyper color shirts in the 90s, too.
Oh, yeah.
Great song. Did not make, again, don't make a listo for me.
Wow, that's a new way of saying it. No make a listo.
I got to change it up a little bit because, man, again, Eric has a bunch of great songs. Brian, you have a bunch of great songs. I have good songs. It just shows where, like you said, Brian, earlier, where we're at with this.
Right. So for my new way of saying it didn't make my list, I'm going to have everybody close their eyes and picture the Bugs Bunny meme of him going, no. No, I absolutely love this song. And Eric, I do want to chime in. He is kind of doing that younger voice where he's trying to be something where he's not really embracing his vocals.
Yep.
In 2020, he released an album called A New Day Now. It is the original album remixed, except for his guitar and his vocals. He re-recorded in 2020 his guitars and vocals for the entire A New Day Yesterday album.
I did not know that.
I highly suggest you check out the version of Miss You, Hate You from that album, because I think your one critique will be gone, because it's the Joe you know now singing a great song from his debut.
I'm going to download that.
Yeah, so you might be saying, hey, dude, can we switch it to the version from A New Day Now on our playlist on Spotify?
No, it will not happen.
I might.
Honestly, I love the original album. I did not represent it, but A New Day Now is the original album with it. It doesn't feel like a cash grab re-release. It is the definitive version of A New Day Yesterday.
Definitely going to grab that.
Gomez, you are now up for track nine.
Track nine. I went with Cradle Rock. It's a real good kick-ass song. What can I say? It could be in another great Tarantino film. For some reason, I see Joe Bonamassa's songs going to Tarantino films for some strange reason. So it could make another one. And probably when Tarantino decides to do Pulp Fiction 2, maybe it makes it in his list.
No.
I'm just joking. I'll never make it. But, you know, another great song. So track nine, Cradle Rock.
And I will say the same thing to you that I just said to Eric. Get the version on A New Day Now. It is the definitive version of that song as well. I only have one song left, and it is a live song, so it is not from that album. That album, unfortunately, got unrepresented in my list, but I love the pick. Unfortunately, did not make mine.
Wow, Brian, we closed you out 2 weeks in a row.
No, I'm not. I still have one song left, but I first have to ask Eric, did it make your list?
No, didn't make my list. I have one song left. I think you know what it is, and it did not. I do like it, though.
Yeah, it's a great song. It's a good, I mean, the whole first album's great. A New Day Now. That's all I'm going to say. Check that out. My track nine, my only live pick, and the only reason I went with the live version is because he never did a studio version of it. I'm going from 2009's Live at the Royal Albert Hall. Album reached number two on the Billboard U.S. Top Blues Albums and is certified platinum by the RIAA. This song was originally performed by ZZ Top on their 1972 album Rio Grande Mud, and you can hear me talking about this version as well as Joe's cover, just a few weeks back on our The Battle of ZZ Top, episode 53, with Patreon playlister David Lee Smith, my track 9, Just Got Paid, song that made my ZZ Top playlist, spoiler alert, a little early. Now, I'm not usually a massive fan of bands that incorporate two drummers on stage, unless one is a drummer and the other one's a percussionist. But for this concert, he did the simultaneous drummers playing the exact same beat. I don't know why, but damn it, it worked. It gave his power blues style an extra lift. And it is any of his pre-2009 songs, this live album are the definitive live versions. Then you add on the ZZ Top cover. It's the cherry on top for my favorite Joe Bonamassa live album. Live from the Royal Albert Hall, my track 9, Just Got Paid. Oh, and it's very long as well. It's over 12 minutes long. But he makes it worth all 12 minutes.
Again, I might have to agree with Eric on this. My ADD might not allow me to listen to it fully, but it is a great pick. I remember we talked about it during ZZ Top 2, so good choice, Brian, but didn't make my list.
Eric?
Didn't make my list. I didn't pick any live songs, so it didn't make my list.
Yeah, well, you picked the Black Country Communion song, so it's kind of a curveball there.
There you see?
There you go. All right, Eric. Now, I have guesses to what your track 10 might be, but I'll be curious to hear what it is now.
All right. So my track 10 is off of Dust Bowl from 2011, and it is The Last Matador of Bayonne. Was that the one you thought?
I thought you were going to go with Black Lung Heartache.
No.
No, but he went with the Matador.
It's an original tune, and this is probably, I think this might be his most Zeppelin-like song. To me, it sounds like Since I've Been Loving You. It sounds a lot like that, actually. But throw some Spanish horns over top, his vocal, nice soft vocal, and the song just builds and builds till the solo. Mm-hmm. And that solo, that is my favorite solo of his, not only of his, it's one of my favorite guitar solos of all time. I could just sit and listen to that with headphones on and get lost in that 1 minute solo. So that is my number 10, Last Matador of Bayonne.
Damn, well that just shows how great Dust Bowl is, because the other song that was bouncing in and out of my playlist, and I was kind of hoping you guys would have picked it so I would have had an easy honorable mention, believe it or not, is the closing track, the Barbra Streisand cover. Yes, Barbra Streisand cover of Prisoner. Holy crap, is that amazing. That whole album is fantastic.
It is. It's a good album.
I am literally saying on this show a Barbra Streisand cover is fantastic. When you hear it, you'll understand. If you're listening going, I really don't know where to start with Joe Bonamassa, you either start with the Slow Gin album or the Dust Bowl album, and you'll be set.
Totally agree. I'd like to throw one thing out about Joe Bonamassa, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So, because that was my number 10 and we only had 10 songs, okay, I just want to throw this out. A few years ago, Jason Becker released an album. Now, I don't know if you know Jason Becker, but he has ALS. He was a guitar god, and unfortunately, he got ALS. So he wrote a bunch of music with his eyes because he can't move anymore. And so he released an album where all these great guitar players played his songs. And there's one song on there called Valley of Fire. And Joe Bonamassa has a piece of guitar solo on it. Have you heard this song?
No,
I haven't.
Listen to this lineup. Michael Lee Firkins, Steve Vai, Joe Bonamassa, Paul Gilbert, Neil Schon, Matthias, I don't know his last name, Marty Friedman, Greg Howe, Jeff Loomis, Richie Kotzen, Gus G., Dick Hunter, and Ben Woods. Now that group right there, including Bonamassa, that tells you what kind of guitar player he is.
Damn.
Listen to that song, Valley of Fire.
Yeah, check that one out.
Now it's not in my pick, but I just wanted to throw that out there as a, you know, so people can get an idea of how good Joe is.
Mm. Up against those other heavyweights as well.
It's ridiculous. Listen to it.
Definitely. Now, Gomez, you are the last to close out tonight.
Again. 2 weeks in a row, I think, too.
Yeah.
So for track 10, Yo Sé Otro Español song, I went with Spanish Boots for track 10.
Another Jeff Beck cover. Love it.
I actually like this because it feels like it's telling a story of a guy who, you know, is working in a factory, quits. He's working in another place, quits. But he has his Spanish boots there. Like, it's almost like his Spanish roots, like, we're going to be doing this. This is how it's going to be. And I'm going to make it for a living. So for me, track 10, Spanish Boots.
Obviously, my playlist is closed. Love the song. Had I had extra spaces, maybe, but because for me on Black Rock, I was only going to put one song, but my two favorite songs on the album are Blue and Evil and Spanish Boots.
Okay.
With the third, Steal Your Heart Away. So I'm glad that all three songs from that album that I truly love made somewhere in the lists tonight, which makes choosing a honorable mention that much harder. Eric obviously didn't make your list, but if you want to chime in on the tune.
It's a good tune. It didn't make my list, though. Again, he has too many songs.
He does.
You know, for some bands, that's a bad thing. For Joe Bonamassa, it's not.
And I'll be curious how the votes go, if the votes are all over the place, too.
Yeah, because these playlists most certainly are all over the place. So, Eric, let's get down to business here with our honorable mentions. What do you got?
All right. You know, I think I'm going to go with Drive for my honorable mention.
Ooh.
I'm just sitting here thinking about it, and I totally overlooked that song. And it probably would have made my list. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Drive.
Good pick. I'm having a hard time because Walking Blues is a great song. And then Brian has The Ballad of John Henry, which he was kind of surprised he did not make my list. But I'm going to have to tip the cat to Brian. I'm going to go with The Ballad of John Henry.
All right. And I guess I'll complete a trifecta of hat tipping all the way around here. And Gomez, the first song you picked, I said I really felt bad for not talking about You and Me at all tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with So Many Roads as my honorable mention. And I think no matter what, even if I don't win, between Slow Gin, Just Got Paid, Blues Deluxe, and So Many Roads, I'll definitely have the longest playlist.
Actually, I might not be looking forward to doing your playlist tomorrow. My God.
Dude, this isn't cassette. You don't have to listen to these in real time.
Yeah, some of the songs can get long.
Yes, they can.
Well, now we are at the point where we get to kind of go through our playlist in its entirety so the playlisters out there can decide who they want to vote for. So, Eric, what is your Joe Bonamassa playlist in its entirety along with your honorable mention?
All right, so my playlist. Walking Blues, number one. Man in the Middle, number two. I Got All You Need, number three. Ghost of Macon Jones, number four. Meaning of the Blues, number five. High Class Girl, number six. Traveling South, number seven. Steal Your Heart Away, number eight. Miss You, Hate You, number nine. And The Last Matador of Bayonne at number 10. And Drive will be my honorable mention.
Gomez.
Track one, So Many Roads. Track two, Blues Deluxe. Track three, Tennessee Plates. Track four, Drive. Track five, The Heart That Never Waits. Track six, Evil Mama. Track seven, Mind's Eye. Track eight, Dirt in My Pocket. Track nine, Cradle Rock. Track 10, Spanish Boots. And my honorable mention of the tip of the cat to Brian, The Ballad of John Henry.
All right. My playlist started with track one, Ball Peen Hammer. Track two, Blue and Evil. Track three, Driving Towards the Daylight. Track four, The Ballad of John Henry. Track five, Slow Gin. Track six, Evil Mama. Track seven, Dust Bowl. Track eight, The River. Track nine, Just Got Paid, live at the Royal Albert Hall. And track 10, Blues Deluxe, with my honorable mention, hat tip to Gomez, So Many Roads. Maybe a record tonight, up with Tom Petty, for the least amount of crossovers all the way around. Only two crossovers the entire night, in Evil Mama and Blues Deluxe. A lot of album crossovers, but not a lot of song crossovers. No trifectas, no bingos. Three distinctly different playlists. So the playlisters are going to have a tough one with this one, I'm guessing. So now's the time, playlisters. We turn it over to you. Head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. Visit the Joe Bonamassa page and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. Eric, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you again for joining us and being such a great supporter for the show. I know I speak on behalf of Gomez and I when I both say thank you. We truly, truly appreciate it, man.
Well, thank you. It's a blast. I mean, I love talking music, doing this stuff, and it's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor.
Well, on that note, Eric, again, thank you for joining us. As you can see, guys, Eric is one of our Patreon account members, so you can jump on patreon.com/playlistwars. We have tiers starting off at $1. Brian, my right-hand guy, I can't thank you enough how you make the show go so well and smooth. Can't thank you enough, buddy. And I got to thank all the playlisters again for chiming in on the show. We thank you so much. And we will see you next time when a new battle takes place on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.